Last week, we covered salt pretty well, I think, right? Well, that's the next aspect that we're going to study on the meat offering is its the contrast between it and the other offerings. You remember, always and ever, it says, the burnt offering with its meat offering, the burnt offering with its meat offering. Burnt offering with its meat offering. They're never independent. And it's because, again, the burnt offering is the perfect offering that satisfies all God's demands on man. And the meat offering, and it's wholly burnt, and it requires a life. There's dead. On the other hand, the meat offering doesn't require a life. There's no death. And the meat offering and the burnt offering, obviously, is wholly burnt. It's totally consumed on the fire to God. The meat offering, on the other hand, isn't wholly burnt. Part of it is eaten by the priest. And so that's, that way, Christ as the burnt offering was wholly the food of God. He was wholly, totally put on the altar. And he was totally consumed by God. Now, as the meat offering, Christ is performing his duty to man. He is also man's fit food. In other words, when we talk about food, now remember, this is as a priest. The remnant of the meat offering shall be for Aaron and his sons. You've got to understand that the idea of food or eating is what you gain sustenance or life from. It's what gives you your life's purpose. And so the idea of the apprehension of the meat offering is what will cause the priest to understand that he has been fulfilled. Understand that? The priest and the priest's children. Now, even this, though, that we have a hint that here it satisfies God, because a handful of the meat offering is taken out of the pan and put on the altar and burned. So it's the indicator that it satisfies God. Even in fulfilling man's duty to his neighbor, Christ fulfilled it as an offering to the Lord. So he just destroyed the idea of, if there was no handful taken out of the meat offering and put on the altar, then it would be possible to have a Sadducee type religion, a New Age kind of religion, or a liberal kind of religion, where you just met the needs of man. You understand?
That's pretty neat. I've never understood or seen it that way, where the altar is like God's mouth, and mm-hmm. you know what you give to Him, and He accepts. Amen.
Now, the meat offering, however, is primarily the food of man. And if it can be seen, in Christ in fulfilling this offering, every demand that a human has in another human being, every possible relationship, whether it's parental or marital or friend or enemy or lover or acquaintance or business associate, all of the infinite number of activities and subtleties between those relationships are all fulfilled in this offering. Now, what does that mean to you? It means that you can afford to abandon yourself, because Christ as you has already fulfilled the thing that you're concerned about.
Yeah, for some reason it seems like fellowship with God, and you eat the same thing as God, they're tied in together. If you're gonna.
Yeah, remember, but that's mostly in the peace offering. The peace offering is where you and God are sitting at the same table enjoying it. Yeah. This
just has a little bitty kind of reflection of
it's
that.
It's a reflection of that, because it's a handful. But
is the meat offering voluntary, or or not. Yeah. Because it says the burnt offering with its meat offering as though you had to make the meat offering.
Well, it's voluntary because you have to voluntarily make the burnt offering.
Oh, okay.
But they have to be together.
Yeah.
If you can't volunteer be for one, you volunteer for both.
So this thing of it that people think that they can just be by themselves and have a relationship with God is trying to offer the burnt offering without
meat offering. Now, again,
love God,
but hear me. Brother. Yeah, but the reason that is interesting is, and that was done, if you look at the offerings of Isaac and others and the other offerings in the book of Genesis, there are many times a burnt offering is offered alone in Genesis. But it's always God's work in the world. We're no longer of the world. Therefore, once you come out of the world, it can no longer be a burnt offering. You understand? The highest regard of the highest form of the burnt offering, its fruit in the world in Genesis was to get out of the world. It was to get to Exodus.
And then once there's a nation, then
once there's a people, then there cannot be any longer a burnt offering without its meat offering. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm. Hmm? I don't know, there's something impactful about that that just kind of ran right by me.
Pretty important.
Yeah.
I missed that. Can you try it again?
Okay. All of Genesis, there are several points, and I can't remember it all now, but four or five different times, it's when Noah and Isaac and others, they offered a burnt offering in the world. Remember, there was never a trespass offering, there was never a sin offering, there was never a peace offering, there was never a meat offering. There's never any waters of purification while Israel was in the world. But there was a burnt offering several times by specific people who were the type of Christ. But there was no meat offering with its burnt offering in the world. The meat offering with its burnt offering didn't happen until after the law was given. And the reason is because now, up until Israel came on the scene, it was possible to have a unity kind of church, or the Bhagavad Gita, or the Muslims, or even Baptists. But that it could only occur before Israel came on the scene. Once Israel came on the scene, then the salvation of the isolated self became impossible. It was available before only as the kind of the equity of God, but now once Israel came on the scene, it's impossible, because the only thing that's saved now is the bride, or Israel, she who sees God. And once you leave the world, there has to be, because now God's purpose is to knit us together in love, there has to be the burnt offering with its meat offering, because the meat offering is your responsibility to the mankind, not mankind in general, but it includes that. But in this metaphor, it's the people, the body, it's the activity of the cells of the body feeding off and feeding and eating of and by and getting their sustenance by each other. But and what that means is it's the fruit, it's cause rebellion took place because there was an understanding of the burnt offering without the meat offering.
So they understood they had this relationship with God, and it was very powerful to them, and they couldn't understand why only Moses had.
Well, but that was only the fruit of it was is that they refused to lay down their lives for each other, and they had. They tried to have independent revelation outside of the nation. And it wasn't just a small issue. They were killed.
Swallowed up.
Why? If they had done that in the world, nothing would have happened. It would have been fine. It would have been probably rewarded.
They could have each started their own church.
Right.
Had their own religion, a little different doctrine.
No problem.
An individual can make an offering.
In the world.
There's no such thing as an individual.
That's right.
Oh, when they not laying down their lives, I can't remember what that thing was happening in the core of the
car. Well, they weren't laying down their lives because they insisted that they were a special.
They wanted to be elevated. Yeah,
one group of them had separated off from them.
Yeah.
Wanted to do something.
But you understand. And again, it is the biggest part of it then is, that's why the New Testament and John, the first, second, third John, those books are not for anybody in the world. They're only for the body. And it says, in the, you know, how can you say you love God if you hate your brother? If you hate your brother, you're a liar. You can't have this independent God stuff. It just doesn't wash. All right? Well, let's Leviticus 2. Now, if you could see it, the New Testament is full of the meat offering. And we'll look at some examples in a minute. Remember now, we're looking at the differences. Let's just read. Somebody, I don't feel like reading. I am really doing bad, guys, so you can't tell.
What verse to start with?
Read from 1 through 16.
And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord.
No, when any will offer a meat offering. So that will offer makes it a, that means, it means wills to offer or decides to offer. Makes it voluntary.
His offering shall be a fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon.
Remember those types. The fine flour means it's even. It's the bread corn is bruised. Means don't, you can't think suffering strange. The fineness of the flour, remember, it's like he's even. He doesn't respond differently to different situations. The oil is, here it's the type of the Holy Spirit is the oil. When is it the water? When is the Holy Spirit the water and when is it the oil? The Holy Spirit in, no, hear me, this is real important. The Holy Spirit has two emblems, at least. It's three more than two, but for the offerings, the Holy Spirit is in two emblematics. One is water. And the Holy Spirit is signified as water in the burnt offering because it's the cleansing process. In the meat offering, the Holy Spirit is considered the oil because it's the empowerment process. One is cleansing, presenting yourself fully cleansed to God. The other is empowerment, the empowerment for laying down your life one for another. Okay? But again, all of these emblems here, where our minds aren't used to thinking in this kind of way. This is very difficult for the American mind. It's very difficult. It was almost impossible for me to see all of this. I mean, I had to force myself to forget everything I've learned to see. Because when I'm reading this, it can go, it's like that thing that Harry was talking about. You know, you look at a picture of something and it goes from one thing to another, from one thing to another. Well, this, if you look at it with the deductive reasoning, it's just
words.
It's just words. But, and you have to look through and see and hear that this is a revelation of Jesus Christ. And as you see it's Christ, then the mystery comes forth. As I've said, there's more revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of Leviticus than there is in any other book of the Bible, without exception. Except for Pharisees. Pharisees just ignore it. They say it's, well, this is the offerings that they used to make, and this is the offerings that they sometime will make when they build the temple again. And again, they say Jesus Christ did come and he will come, but he isn't here now. Therefore, they'll miss him because he's always someplace else. Everybody capisce? Mm-hmm. Interrupt me if you don't understand. What?
Well, you know, I'm sure you're speaking to this other part of me that understands.
It's that.
I did it, you know, you said about, Harry said there are no individuals, and I tried to think of think of it. And then the thing I thought about, it made sense to me was also because you can't even exist vis-a-vis God without existing for your fellow man. You can't divorce those two things. Therefore, I guess in that sense, you can't be an isolated individual as
you can't remember though you can in the world.
Yeah.
So again, we remember we're looking at all of this. Really, we're looking back and at ourselves, and we're looking back, and we're hopefully seated all on the mercy seat, and we're looking back now and looking at what our stealth I'm talking about. We're looking about we're contemplating what our journey was about, and we're remembering the details so that we can impart them to men of good faith.
Yeah, picking up on what Larry said, it's really starting to come really clear to me that it doesn't matter. This thing about being surrounded by brothers, being from the same womb and all that, I mean, it's totally not even part of the equation whether you like anybody or get along. Who cares? You're dead without those people.
Right.
Literally dead. And that's really starting to be very clear. It's not just words.
Yeah. The lack that, you know, it's been a long time since they've even considered would you like somebody.
Yes.
That's not the basis of relationships.
You walk in the light as He is in the light, then have you fellowship.
Okay. And he shall pour oil upon it and put frankincense thereon. He shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, and of the oil thereof, with all the frankincense thereof, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. And the remnant of a meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offerings of the Lord made by fire. And if thou bring an oblation of a meat offering, bake it in the oven, it shall be unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil, or unleavened wafers anointed with oil. And if thy oblation be a meat offering baked in a pan, it shall be a fine flour unleavened mingled with oil.
Now why do you think there's all these different kinds or forms of it's baked in the oven, baked in a pan, and you do this, do that, if it's in a frying pan. What does that mean?
So you can do it any place you
are. Was it always cooked?
It always went through the fire.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's all it is. It's oil, and it's frankincense, and it's flour, and it's got fire. Other than that, it's salt. But other than that, I mean,
do it any way you want.
That's the idea that
there's no pattern.
There's no pattern. There's no role model.
Yeah, you got the elements. You got it.
And you got the elements, and you got the fire, and you got the abandonment of self, and everything else is automatic.
Well, I never think about there being an oven in the temple. I never thought about there being an oven in the temple. First time I ever.
And to cook all that stuff, so.
Yeah,
I just never thought about it. But I could handle a frying pan because you got stuff around, but I never thought about there being an
oven. Also, think in terms of in Israel at this time. Just think of how many, how much wood it took to keep the altar, the brazen altar burning. How much wood it took to keep the incense altar burning. How much wood it took to keep the oven burning. It had to be done 24 hours a day.
Wasn't that much wood? This is a busy community. It's a lot of work.
That's all they did.
Yeah.
See, that was their service. That was their holy service. It's the highest service that can be done. And that's why, from the standpoint of the priesthood, the peace offering was the highest. Because my friend, the priests and the Levites, because they were what gave sustenance to everyone else.
But
I mean, they, the high priest, could not live without those offering the peace offering.
You needed outside Levites. You can't just be done with house Levites.
I mean, the high priest couldn't live unless that guy was getting the wood that he was supposed to be getting.
Right.
And picking the bugs out of it.
Right. And doing all of these things.
Well, that's what they did. They picked bugs out
of it. You couldn't have a bad piece of wood.
You couldn't, there could not be a bug in the wood in the fire. Because it would have defiled everything. It couldn't be an ant or a termite in the wood.
Do you think Israel was different then than it is now? I mean, as far as like trees and stuff like that. It's kind of
had less trees. Has less trees then.
They were in the wilderness anyway.
Well, I'm thinking about, you know, when they got to
once
the
they
temple,
got to the
it
temple.
Really took a lot of.
Right.
So they had to import all that stuff. So they had to have dealings with the outside world.
It'd have to be a certain kind of wood to burn it to?
No. In fact, it didn't. It could. It. I think. Well, I'm not. I haven't studied this yet. I know there's a, one of the things I've been studying lately is the meaning of trees and the new year of trees.
You've been doing that for years.
I know, but I've, it's just it's so there's so much there, and I'm just blowing me away. But anyway. If we ever get done with these damn offerings, then we'll start in stealth. We'll study the trees.
Stop fooling around these damn televangelists and start having Bible study.
What?
Stop fooling around these televangelists.
Yeah, making my having right. Televangelists make my mind swim.
there's something about this. They had to go outside of Israel to get.
Well, I'm not sure that's true.
Well, you think Israel was all in? I mean. It,
well,
Lebanon was outside. And they had
yeah, but they went, they got trees for the temple. For the, but I don't know for sure they got firewood outside. Wait, let me
figure that out before I make a doctrine on it.
What? Right. But think about this. You know this. There was a whole bunch of guys whose whole lives consisted of nothing more than getting wood or making sure it was clean. That was it.
But this tribe must have been like locusts that day, moving through the wilderness, just 3 million, just. You consume a lot of stuff.
3 to 6 minutes.
I'll try it.
Yeah. And you leave a lot of stuff behind.
Probably grew stuff, too, because, I mean, they were there for a long time.
Yeah, remember now, can you imagine what Kadesh Barnea looked like after 39 years?
A lot of burger wrappers.
A lot of rocks turned over. Unwrap the manna.
I don't know. They were pretty. Yeah, I don't think it'd been too trash. I just can't imagine Moses running a loose ship. Just,
neither can I.
A neat camp is a happy camp.
But they had trash cans every
50 yards. I remember.
Clean camp.
Yeah.
Clean camp is a happy camp.
Right.
That was
the goat's bladder.
That was before Harry.
All the concrete was level.
Two of the things I remember back when we, long time when we first started meeting. You know, tipping the waitress and leave the campsite better than you found it. You know,
oh, yeah, we had more arguments, not arguments, but
discussions
where they didn't tip the waitresses enough. And then the other one was that we had to leave the campsite. We'd go camping all the time. We went 6 or 8 times a year.
We were